This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Boylston and Bolton. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from Berlin, Bolton, Boylston, Clinton, Lancaster, Stirling, and West Boylston. Today, we'll be reading from the July 10th edition of the Clinton Item. All articles will be written by Jan Gottesman, unless otherwise noted. This is Peter Wilson. Our first article is from Clinton. Classic cars return to Central Park, July 16. For the fourth year, the Clinton Historical Society is hosting Cruising Clinton in Central Park. The car rally and concert will be held on Thursday, July 16th from 6 to 9 p.m. in Central Park. The rain date is Thursday, July 23rd. "We love this program," said Terry Ingano, who coordinates the program for the Historical Society. "It combines history, art, music, and community, and continues to gain popularity each year. It's really become the summer event in Clinton. Our cultural council continues to fund us, and we are very thankful. Not only does the event feature cars, trucks, and other vintage and classic cars, but Ron Boston provides music. There are several food trucks set up. New this year is Bird's Nest Braised Food Truck, serving up, along with Flipping the Bird, Sirloin, Bob's Hot Dogs, The Fountain, Sterling Street Brewery, Coco's Tropical Ice, and Domino's Pizza. We added even more photo booth options, many with an Old West theme, Ingano said, offering fun for the entire family. Special car show t-shirts will be on sale for $20, created for the event by Aaron Gonzalez. There will be a scratch ticket raffle benefiting the Historical Society at the Holder Memorial Table in the park. "The best part by far is the community," Ingano said. "Families turn out to see the cars, have fun, meet and talk with others," he said. "For safety, there is a change in format," Ingano said. "There will be absolutely no skateboards, bikes, scooters, or e-bikes allowed in the park during the show." Explaining, Ingano did, that there are too many people there and too much of a possibility of damaging those classic cars. Our second article is also from Clinton, Cotter Finding Ways to Help at Wheat, by Danielle Ray. Bella Cotter is spending 6 weeks interning at Wheat Community Connections, which aligns with what the one young woman is passionate about, global and social justice issues. Bella hopes to build a career focused on helping people meet their basic human needs, making Wheat Community Connections a perfect place to learn, serve, and make a difference, the nonprofit organization posted on social media last month. "We are excited to have her as part of our team and look forward to the impact she'll make this summer." The 22-year-old is helping out with the nonprofit organization's services on High Street, which also includes a thrift and consignment store. A rising senior at Eckert College in St. Petersburg, Florida, Cotter is pursuing a double major in Spanish and International Relations and Global Affairs, along with double minors in Public Health and Economics. Wheat Community Connections serves residents of the towns of Berlin, Bolton, Clinton, Lancaster, and Stirling. As a lifelong resident of the area, Cotter said she is thrilled to be part of the team. "I wanted to intern at Wheat because I am someone who is passionate about giving back, but I also care deeply about the type of work they do," she said. "One of my focuses in my studies is global public health and the social determinants of health on a global scale. With this focus, I do a lot of research on human rights and civil society organizations and other actors who work on the ground to support public health, the role of governments and international organizations in ensuring people are able to live healthily and, more generally, I look into what it actually means to be healthy and how many different things play a role in each of our individual and collective well-beings, she added. When she was looking for summer internship opportunities, Cotter reached out to Wheat because it would give her hands-on experience related to what she wants to do in her career. Cotter has already gained valuable experience through study abroad opportunities in Geneva, Switzerland, Strasbourg, France, and Puerto Rico, where she worked alongside fellow students and nonprofits addressing food insecurity and other community needs. Cotter remembered she had been involved with Wheat when she was very young, volunteering a couple of times, serving meals with a Girl Scout troop and also a friend's parent, who was an involved volunteer. Wheat Community Connections Director Liz Leonard said that they are delighted to have Cotter join them this summer. She brings a unique combination of academic and hands-on experience along with a great disposition and eagerness to learn, Leonard said. Bella is working in each of our programs and is a great addition to our team. We are so fortunate to have her. Cotter said it's important to her to give back this way, especially in the region that she calls home. Many people do not realize how incredibly privileged they are, she said. I mean this in the most general sense. Massachusetts is a very wealthy place, and this area of Central Mass is no exception. I think today people forget how good they have it, and it is important to realize not everyone is so lucky. I think this realization is key to unlocking empathy and understanding. By volunteering in this way, you are being part of something, a true member of a community, Cotter added. I think this is lacking today. This country, this world, is so divided, and I believe a large part of it is because we don't care for each other. By volunteering at Wheat, people are all being brought together to do something good. Everyone here is different, but that is not the focus. The focus is not what divides us. It's what brings us together, and that's why this organization is so powerful. Cotter and her family moved to Bolton when she was 4 years old, and they lived there until the middle of her freshman year of college, when they moved to Clinton. She graduated summa cum laude from Neshoba Regional High School in 2023 and has three younger siblings, a 20-year-old nursing student at Wheaton College and 17-year-old twins who attend Neshoba and Cushing Academy. Cotter said her unpaid Wheat internship, which runs through July 31st, will include a minimum of 150 hours and give her college credit, as she will do a research paper on her experience that focuses on human rights, specifically the human right to health, economic stability, food, water, housing, etc., and how these relate to her experience at Wheat. After leaving to return to school for job training, she said, I still plan to be in contact with Wheat and involved in any way I remotely and or can when I come back home. Her internship takes her through the organization. I work mainly in the pantry where I organize meals and help with any other housekeeping and organizational needs they have in the thrift store. I help organize and carry in donations and ensure the store is tidy. I'm sure there will be plenty of other projects I will be working on, as I know Wheat is currently working on a backpack and school supplies drive that will need to be ready for the end of summer. She's already discovered much about the workings of Wheat since starting her internship. I learned a lot about the logistical things, Cotter said, but I was pleasantly surprised to learn all about the donations they receive from so many different sectors. I've learned so much about how meeting people's needs is more than just giving them food. It's about giving them space to be themselves, to exist without judgment, to get hygiene materials and meet people with help, to help them find jobs or pay their bills, to give them access to a computer and a phone so they can make calls or send emails, all things we take for granted. She's excited to learn about Wheat and being part of this amazing program in general. Everyone here is passionate about helping others, and it's a beautiful community to be a part of. Truly welcoming environment where everyone feels welcome and accepted. It's rare to find that these days, Cotter said. I also really love being able to help people. I mean this in the sense that through this internship, I am helping them with their basic needs. But I also mean in the sense that I am able to sit and talk to people while they eat a meal and provide them company while they eat, or giving a little girl an extra pint of ice cream when they go through the pantry just to see them smile. I think what I enjoy most are these little things that take almost no effort from me, but make someone else's day or even week. That's what I care about. In an article from Lancaster, Perkins School recognizes graduates Kilcoyne and McNichol. On Saturday, June 13th, Dr. Franklin Perkins School, an RFK Community Alliance school, held its annual Recognition Day ceremony at their campus at 971 Main Street, marking 130 years of student success. The event honors graduating students, recognizes those completing important milestones and transitions, and celebrates students, staff, and community members who have made meaningful contributions to the people served by RFK Community Alliance. Dr. Kathy Mills, president and CEO of RFK Community Alliance, shared what made the students gathered at this year's ceremony so remarkable. You are kind in that easy, unforced way that tells you something real about who a person is. You told me about finding your voice and your people here at the Dr. Franklin Perkins School. About finally being somewhere that made sense, where you made sense to the people around you and they made sense to you. That kind of belonging is something people search for their whole lives. Student speaker Anna Ames said to her family, friends, and the DFPS community, "For me to be standing up here today is the greatest testament to all that you have done for me and all that I can accomplish with the right support, what anyone can accomplish with the right support." Megan K. Kilcoyne, Mass. State Representative for the 12th Worcester District, received the Distinguished Service Award in the field of public service. Kilcoyne made history in 2020 as the first woman ever elected to represent the 12th Worcester District, serving the communities of Lancaster, Clinton, Berlin, Boylston, Northborough, and Sterling. Now in her third term, she's been a steadfast advocate for special education funding, including strong support for the special education circuit breaker, which has nearly doubled during her tenure. And she has championed mental health education and equitable learning opportunities in schools. In her acceptance remarks, Kilcoyne said, "You heard about some of the work that happens on Beacon Hill, but when I come to a place like this, it makes the policy and what we're working for every day real." Audrey McNichol, literacy specialist and educator at Dr. Franklin Perkins School, received the Distinguished Service Award for dedicated service to the students of Dr. Franklin Perkins School. McNichol received the award for being an extraordinary educator whose impact can be felt in every classroom and corner of the school. Guided by a flexible and highly creative approach, she sees every student's potential and meets them exactly where they are, building upon their unique strengths. Our next article is entitled "Bolton Church Welcomes Community to a Story Slam" by Danielle Ray. A church in town has two upcoming events that the community is invited to that are inspired by a global organization dedicated to storytelling. First Parish of Bolton at 673 Main Street is hosting a story slam this month and next month, July 16th at 4 p.m., and another one on August 22nd. And everyone is welcome to join in to share or just listen and enjoy. Reverend Virginia Ginger Bove, the senior minister of the Ecumenical Congregation, certified as open and affirming, said that they have had all ages participate over the past year. The event is intergenerational from age 19 to 90, she recently said. It's an intimate setting, in a circle, no stage, and all are supportive of one another, no pressure. Bove has been in her position at First Parish of Bolton since October 2023 and has lived in Westford for 14 years. She said that while she has not shared any personal stories herself, preferring to listen, she does a lot of sharing in her sermons and column in the church's weekly e-newsletter. She added that she had heard of The Moth, a New York City-based nonprofit that offers a weekly podcast, and in 2009 launched a national public radio show, The Moth Radio Hour, which won a 2010 Peabody Award. In addition, her 19-year-old son writes gorgeous fantasy stories, which gave Bove the idea to host story slams at the church to give people the opportunity to share their own work. Summer concerts continue across the area. Music will give rhythm to the region as several summer concert series are held. Here's a listing of those received by the Clinton Item. Berlin 19 Carter Community Center has summer concerts set for Saturdays through August at the facility. Tickets are available now at 19carter.org. $175 for a summer pass, or individual tickets are $25 in advance or $30 at the door, $5 for students, and free for children. 19 Carter will partner with local breweries and wineries at select concerts. July 11th is already passed, but July 18th will feature Mo Dixon with Seth Esser and Gary Brown. July 25th will feature the Nolan Slate Sextet. For information, visit 19carter.org or email info@19carter.org. Bolton Parks and Recreation are hosting concerts on the town common from 6 to 8 p.m. on July 17th. Is Brandy. Weather cancellation notices will be announced on the Bolton Parks and Recreation social media. For information, visit boltonma.myrec.com. Clinton concerts are held every Tuesday at Central Park, with the rain date of Wednesday when possible. Vendors expected include The Taco Dude, Sterling Street Brewery, The Fountain, Wheat and Water, and Fran Flynn. The host is Clinton Parks and Recreation. On July 14th, it'll be Michael Tragoni. On July 21st, it'll be Lacquerhead. On July 28th, it'll be the Rampage Trio. Lancaster Thayer Memorial Library's annual concert series is set for Thursday, July 16th, 23rd, and 30th at 6:30 p.m. July 16th and 30th is in the reference room. July 23rd is on the town green. On July 16th, Hungry Town will be featured. On July 23rd, Hit the Bus Band. And on July 30th, the Blue Collar Ramblers. Sterling Recreation hosts concerts every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m., June through August in Memorial Park behind the fire station. On July 15th, it's Slowgrass. July 22nd, Rusty Buckets. And July 29th, Illusions. West Boylston concerts are held on Sunday, except August 15th, which is a Saturday. July's concerts are 6 to 8 p.m. and are held on the Bandstand Common. On July 19th are the Reminiscence. On July 22nd, July 26th, the DeLoreans will play their farewell concert. In government news, state finalizes local aid package from Boston. As the fiscal year ended June 30th and the new one began July 1st, the state government finalized their local aid figures as the conference committee sent their final aid package to the governor. Local aid was not a windfall for any of the local communities. While Clinton Schools saw an addition of $1.1 million as the final year of the Student Opportunity Act, the municipal side for general government and aid saw an increase of $92,000, the highest of any of the item towns. Berlin saw an increase of $17,000 over last year. Bolton $27,000, Boylston, $26,000, Lancaster, $49,000, Sterling, $43,000, and West Boylston, $43,000. But the state did announce a committee to study the way local aid was calculated going forward, with the hope of more equity, especially for smaller towns. Heat lifts this week after a scorcher. It's a wicked scorcher, as Hollywood would portray in a bad cartoonish version of a Boston accent. But the holiday week saw historically high temperatures and bad air quality, much of the build-up to the July 4th weekend. While many restaurants closed down for a holiday break to give staff a break during a time when many go away for vacation and others grill, some chose to close during the heat, such as Barber's Crossing in Sterling. Municipal buildings, especially libraries and senior centers, were advertised as cooling centers, though many were closed for the holiday weekend, with fire departments and emergency dispatch centers set to open up buildings if residents in need required a place to escape the heat. But the Bolton Public Library closed early when its air conditioning failed. Some outdoor events, including the West Boylston Farmers Market on Wednesday, July 1st, and the Sterling Street Market on Saturday, July 4th, were canceled. In some communities, mail was distributed and trash collected early to try to get outdoor work done before the temperatures reached their heights. Public pools, splash pads, and beaches were at capacity. While a waste leak into the Merrimack River temporarily closed some Salisbury Beach area spots, people found places to escape the heat by water. While the temperature dropped a bit after the holiday weekend and rain was in the forecast, the region was still seeing water restrictions as the drought lingered. Lancaster, Sterling, and West Boylston were among the communities announcing watering restrictions. Although the planning for extreme heat was suspended, it's likely that high temperatures will return this summer. Officials urge local residents to check out cooling locations before the high heat returns. From Sterling. Sterling Fire celebrates promotions and new members. Members of the Sterling Fire Department gathered in celebration July 1st for a promotional and swearing-in ceremony while honoring one of their own lost. Chief Thomas Kokernak welcomed people to the ceremony. Over the last several months, we've been caught up in a sort of whirlwind of important things that have happened within the fire department. So as one thing seemed to get overshadowed by the next, I wanted to get everyone together and take a second to pause and appreciate some of the important events we've had. By far the most significant thing has been the loss of Jim Emerton to cancer, Kokernak added. Jim's loss has affected us on many levels. We are just starting to realize the impact of not having him around, and that process is probably going to take some time for us to work through. As chief, it's important for me to preserve the integrity of what Jim meant to us and to recognize how important he was to this chapter of our department's history. In his memory, Kokernak issued a special order. It is with much sympathy and gratitude that I issue this directive ordering the immediate and permanent retirement of Sterling Fire Department Badge 38. Badge 38 was issued to and proudly worn by firefighter paramedic Jim Emerton. As an esteemed member of this department, firefighter Emerton represented our finest traditions, both as a compassionate firefighter paramedic and as a loyal public servant who was dedicated to the craft of teaching others how to help people in their time of need. Firefighter Emerton passed away on May 16, 2026, following a battle with occupational cancer. His sacrifice serves as a solemn reminder that the dangers of our profession extend far beyond the emergency scene and often remain with us long after the fire has been extinguished. In addition, and in recognition of Jim's extraordinary service and sacrifice, Badge 38 will be permanently retired and will never again be assigned to any other member of this department. The retirement of this badge will stand as a lasting tribute to our appreciation for Jim and a symbol of the debt of gratitude we owe to those who give so much in service to others. Jim's badge will forever represent his courage, compassion, commitment, and the enduring legacy he leaves within this department. May it remind each of us of the importance of protecting one another and treating the people we serve with compassion and empathy, and to never forget the sacrifices we must sometimes make in the performance of our duty. Along with honoring Emerton, several people were sworn in to new positions. Steve Lutz, promoted to captain, has been a firefighter for over 10 years. Along with overseeing regular day-to-day operations and incidents, Lutz will also handle all fire prevention and community risk reduction roles in our community, Kokanak said. Steve Lutz has served as acting captain in the Clinton Fire Department for almost 10 years, while simultaneously working as a per diem firefighter here in Sterling. His background and the respect he earned amongst the ranks during his tenure as a per diem made him an easy choice to select for this role. Eric Ares, promoted to full-time lieutenant, has been in the fire service for over 20 years and has served the Sterling Fire Department for 16 years. Ares is a paramedic and oversees all emergency medical service operations. Jimmy Ares, promoted to full-time lieutenant, has been in the fire service for over 18 years. Jimmy Ares is a paramedic and brings vast knowledge and experience to our department. Both Jimmy and Eric come from a long line of family who serve as firefighters. Nick Finzio, promoted to on-call lieutenant, has been in the fire service for 12 years. Finizio is an EMT and brings extensive knowledge and skill with technical rescue operations. Daniel DJ Godet, promoted to online lieutenant, has been in the fire service for 13 years. Godet is also a paramedic and served as a specialist in the Army National Guard. George Kinahan, sworn in as the department's assistant emergency manager director, has a vast background and education in disaster management. Kinahan has years of experience serving on the Boston Disaster Medical Assistance Team and the FEMA International Medical Surgical Response Team. This position vacancy was created by the loss of Jim Emerton. Connor Wilbur was sworn in as the department's newest full-time firefighter paramedic. Connor has served the Sterling Fire Department as an on-call member since 2020. Connor has over 6 years of experience in the fire service and served as a Lance Corporal in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. Wilbur is assigned to Group 2. These promotions and the addition of F.F. Wilbur will bring an exciting time of change and growth to the department, according to a post from the Sterling Fire Department. During the ceremony, Kokanak talked about generational change. One of the things I have to mention tonight is by virtue of working at the Sterling Fire Department, you become a part of a family that might be a little complicated and dysfunctional at times, but a family nonetheless, Kokanak added. We have lots of events news this week. From Boylston, the Botanic Garden combines music and circus for shows. New England Botanic Garden at Tower Hill is hosting two nights combining opera and circus in an open-air spectacle. Arias Aloft, Chromatic, is scheduled for Sundays, July 12th, since passed, and the 19th, with rain dates of the 20th. Doors open at 5:30 for a show from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Circus 617 and Opera Untapped combine two art forms set against the blooming background of New England Botanic Garden. Featuring vocal and aerial acrobatics, performed by some of Boston's leading circus artists and classical singers, this performance showcases opera, musical theater, and cabaret classics paired with original circus acts. This year's program, Chromatic, is inspired by the vibrant colors of the natural world, drawing audiences into a living landscape of music and movement. This event takes place in the Lawn Garden. Chairs and benches will not be available. Visitors are encouraged to bring their own picnic blankets or lawn chairs. A selection of food and drinks will be available for purchase during the event. Outside alcohol is not permitted at the garden. Tickets must be reserved in advance. Member adult tickets are $26. Member youth, 4 to 12, $8. Non-member adult, $36. Non-member youth, $12. Children 3 and under are free, but must be registered. General admission discounts and passes do not apply to this special event. Sterling gathers for 250th sing-along. Celebrate America's 250th birthday at a community sing-along on Sunday, July 19th at 3 p.m. in Sterling Memorial Park behind the fire station, when local musicians will lead the audience through some of the country's best-loved songs. This free, family-friendly event will feature American melodies loved by generations, from classic songs like Home on the Range, favorite sing-alongs like Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and patriotic songs like America the Beautiful. Two selections by Stephen Foster, the father of American music, and George M. Cohan, creator of Yankee Doodle Dandy. A surprise rendition is also in the works of Sterling's musical claim to international fame. Can you guess? Whether you prefer singing or just quietly humming along, join the celebration. In case of rain, the event will be held the following Sunday, July 22nd at 3 p.m. The community sing-along is sponsored by the Sterling Cultural Council. From Clinton, the Bigelow Free Public Library will host a puzzle swap on August 1st. To facilitate the swap, the library is collecting puzzles from July 14th to July 31st. Between July 14th and July 31st, patrons can drop off completed puzzles in their box at the front desk in exchange for a puzzle voucher. You can return on August 1st, noon to 2 p.m., to exchange your voucher for a new-to-you puzzle. Extra puzzles will be donated to the Friends of the Bigelow Library. If you would rather borrow a puzzle, the Bigelow Library has a collection of puzzles from 300 to 1,500 pieces that you can borrow with your library card. The Bigelow Library is open Tuesday to Thursday, 9 to 8, Friday, 9 to 6, and Saturday, 9 to 5. For more information and to register, you can visit bigelowlibrary.org or call 978-365-4160. The Icon Museum in Clinton is offering free Family Thursdays. The Icon Museum and Study Center is hosting these Thursdays in July, with dates continuing July 16th, 23rd, and 30th. The staff is hosting drop-in activities and tours geared towards creative and inquisitive visitors of all ages. Visitors are also invited to join in on guided tours throughout the day offered by museum staff and volunteers. Guests will get to explore the materials used to create the vibrant colors found in the icons. Museum staff will guide visitors as they experiment with creating paints using prepared pigments and embellishing their artworks with silver and gold colored foil. Learn about where these materials are found and what the different colors signify in the icon tradition. They will also learn about the beautiful lettering found in illuminated manuscripts and some icons. Using templates and examples on hand, explore basic lettering styles and create illuminated letters. Participants will be encouraged to be creative and make an illuminated letter that represents their unique personality. The Icon Museum and Study Center is located at 203 Union Street across from Clinton's Central Park. For more information about current exhibits and admission on other days, visit iconmuseum.org. In Boylston, zombies are invading Calliope in July for sci-fi spoof. Calliope Productions is presenting Pom Pom Zombies, a musical by Stephen Murray, at its 150 Main Street Theater. According to the website, it's the 1960s, a big nuclear blast to the past. Schools out for the summer and teenagers of Ocean View High are ready to surf, sun, and have some fun. Their favorite hangout is Barnacle Betty's Beach Club, which happens to be right next door to the evil Ivanka Ratnick's nuclear power plant. But, oops, Cindy Sue, the head cheerleader, accidentally gets some nuclear slime on her hot dog instead of pickle relish, and soon the beach is overrun with pom-pom-wielding zombies. her all-American boyfriend, the Beatniks, the Nerds, and the Tough Girl gang, named the Barracudas, rally their forces to save the beach from the atomic attackers. This sci-fi spoof of those beach blanket flicks of the 1960s explodes with hilarious hits like School's Out, Don't Touch the Hair, It's Cool to Be a Nerd, My Girlfriend's Dead, and I'm Gonna Be in Trouble, and Voodoo Shoobidoo, and the dance craze Doing the Zombie. Performances are Wednesday, July 15th, Thursday, July 16th, Friday, July 17th, and Saturday, July 18th at 7:30 p.m., with a Saturday matinee, July 18th at 2 p.m. Tickets are $20 for regular admission and $17 for students and seniors. For online tickets, visit calliopeproductions.org. From Boylston, a cornhole tournament for Foundation is going to be held on August 29th. The 6th annual Matthew John Phillips Cornhole Tournament is Saturday, August 29th, with a rain date of August 30 at Pop Warner Football Field, Route 70 and 140. Reserve your spot to benefit the Matthew John Phillips Scholarship Foundation. On the day of the tournament, registration opens at 11 a.m. Raffles are announced at 12:15 p.m. and bags fly at 12:30 p.m. Cost to register a team is $50. There's a food truck on site. The tournament is double elimination. Registration is due by August 22nd, but spots fill early. Team registration fee can be paid via Venmo at Matthew John Phillips, or by PayPal, or at mjpf.org. In obituary news, from Lancaster, Henrietta V. Dilling, 87, passed peacefully surrounded by love at home on Saturday, June 27th, 2026. She is survived by two sisters, Marjorie Ruberti and Mary Vanessi, both of Clinton, as well as generations of nieces, nephews, extended family, and dear friends. She's predeceased by her brothers-in-law, Henry Vanessi and Gerald Ruberti. Daughter of the late Henry and Elizabeth Minicucci Bellarosa Dilling, Etta was born and raised in Clinton and was a graduate of the Clinton High School, class of 1957. She spent her professional career as an inspector for Sprague Electric and later with NIPRO Incorporated, from where she ultimately retired. She loved and enjoyed her home in Lancaster. A woman of great faith, Etta was a longtime member of Church of the Good Shepherd in Clinton. Among her many hobbies and interests, she enjoyed rug hooking, knitting, crocheting, and gardening. She held a lifelong love for animals and was an advocate for animal rescue shelters. Etta will be forever missed and lovingly remembered as a devoted sister, aunt, and friend. A calling hour was held on July 10th, with a funeral service immediately following. Burial was in the Woodlawn Cemetery in Clinton. Memorial contributions may be made in memory of Henrietta Dilling to Second Chance, 111 Young Road, P.O. Box 136, East Brookfield, Mass., 01515, or at secondchanceanimals.org. Online condolences may be placed at philbincomofh.com. From Clinton, Philip D. Parker, 65, died unexpectedly on Monday, June 29th. He is survived by his wife of 40 years, Barbara Gleason Parker, two sons, Philip Parker and partner Adam Ferraro, and Ben Parker. Siblings, John Parker and wife Donna, and Kathleen Gilmore. In-laws, Mary Connell, Ellen Gleason, Denise LaPointe, and husband Doug, Ed Gleason and wife Claudia, Kathy Gleason and husband Dave D'Orazio. His neighbors on the hill, nieces, nephews, extended family, and many dear friends. He's predeceased by his brother Dennis Parker. Son of the late Dennis and Dorothy Goulis Parker, Phil was born, raised, and educated in Clinton and was a graduate of Clinton High School, class of 1978. He continued studies at Quinsigamond Community College and pursued his career in the computer industry, working in various capacities. Phil was employed with Digital, Compaq, and Hewlett-Packard, later with EMC and VCE, as a systems administrator until retiring. Phil enjoyed many hobbies and simple pleasures, such as catching live music with Barb, fishing, going golfing with friends at the Berlin Country Club, and feeding the birds in his backyard. Above all, he was a proud father and devoted husband. Per his wishes, there will be no services. A celebration of life will be arranged at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made in memory of Philip D. Parker to Sharing is Caring, Thrift Shop and Food Pantry, 104 Sterling Street in Clinton, Mass., 01510. Condolences online may be placed at philbincomofh.com. Dorothy A. Dubé Santangelo passed peacefully on Thursday, July 2nd, at the Lemonster Hospital. She is survived by her children, James P. Santangelo, John P. Santangelo, and wife Ellen, Julia Coppenrath, Linda McGeehan, and husband Robert, and Paul P. Santangelo, as well as eight grandchildren, James Santangelo and partner Jenna, Keith Santangelo and partner Stephanie, Michael Santangelo and wife Jamie, Jonathan Santangelo, David Coppenrath, Chelsea Coppenrath and partner Jeremy, Robert McGeehan and Morgan, Seth McGeehan and wife Alyssa, and three great-grandchildren, Connor McGeehan, Jason McGeehan, and Riley Santangelo. She leaves her sisters-in-law, Sylvia Dubé and Lois Corville, and brother-in-law, Ronald Santangelo. Generations of nieces, nephews, extended family, and dear friends, notably Rita McGeehan. She is predeceased by her husband, Johnny Santangelo, her daughter, Lorianne Santangelo, grandchild, Joshua Kell McGeehan, and brother, Ulrich Dubé. Daughter of the late Ulrich and Mary Courtmanchet, Dot was born and raised and educated in Gardner. In addition to raising her family, Dot spent her professional career with the Van Brode Milling Company, Ames, Zares, and Identigraphics, before joining the bakery at Shaw's in Clinton, where she spent 13 great years until retiring at the age of 78. Active in her community, Dot was a longtime member of the Emblem Club and Clinton Senior Center. Among her many pleasures, Dot enjoyed reading, cruise vacations, and the occasional trip to the casinos, playing cards and bingos, and walks through Central Park. She will be forever missed and lovingly remembered. A calling hour was held on Wednesday, July 8th, with a funeral immediately following. Memorial contributions may be made in memory of Doris A. Santangelo to the American Cancer Society, 3 Speen Street, Framingham, Mass., 01701. Online condolences may be placed at philbincomofh.com. In sporting news, the Guardians come out on top of Clinton Little League AAA by Bill Marsh. The Guardians in Clinton are the champions of the Clinton Area Little League's AAA division, downing the Angels 9-0 in the best-of-three series at Savage Field. The Guardians won the first game 5-2 to take the series 2-0. In the championship game, Julian West was outstanding on the mound, pitching a no-hitter while striking out five batters. The Indians got off to a fast start, scoring four runs in the top of the first inning. The big hit in the frame was a 2-RBI double by Benjamin Brunel. Up 4-0, the Guardians scored four more runs in the third on a 2-RBI triple by West, an RBI double by Thomas Casarino, and a RBI single by Travis Hernley. The Guardians went on to score a solo run in the fourth. The big sticks for the Guardians were Andrew Frick, Luke Bishop, and Brunel, who all had two hits each. Julian West pitched a great game for us with no hits and no runs, Guardians coach Paul Bishop said. I thought we saved the best for last and played our best game of the season. The bats and defense came together, and that was nice to see, he said. It was the game that meant the most, and they all played well in a great all-around effort. In the first game of the series, Frick pitched 4 innings for the Guardians, allowing just 3 hits while striking out 10. Hernley hurled 2 innings in relief. Hudson Zarnitsky, Lucas Kaiser, and John Wright all pitched for the Angels. Brunel and West led the Guardians with 2 hits each, while Bishop had 1 hit. Leading the way for the Angels was Kaiser with 2 hits, while Zarnitsky and Caleb Bacon had 1 hit apiece. We had good pitching in that game, and our 2 pitchers combined for 14 strikeouts, Paul Bishop said. The Angels pitchers pitched well, too. It was a close game, and either team could have won. Paul Bishop said he was pleased with the playoffs and the regular season, which included Gibbs Little League of Sterling and the Boylston-West Boylston-Berlin Little League. I think the entire season and playoffs were great, Paul Bishop said. Many of the kids are friends, and they get to play against each other. I think Clinton baseball has a bright future, he said. As the kids continue to play, they will all get better. It was a fun league, and all the kids and coaches were great, Bishop added. The other Guardian coaches were Shane West, Matt Brayton, Greg Frick, and Chris Casarino. The Angels coaches were David Kaiser, Kyle Zarnitsky, and Ryan Bacon. In neighbor-to-neighbor news, student honors. From Kingston, Rhode Island, several local residents were named to the Spring Dean's List at the University of Rhode Island. Sophie Howland of Clinton, Grace King of Lancaster, Caitlin Chrysonis of West Boylston, Catherine Riseborough of Bolton, Alana Vaness of Clinton, and Nate Yurkovic of Clinton. Local University of Rhode Island students named to the President's List were Kelly Conroy of Clinton, Aaron Coughlin of Lancaster, Sarah Kilcoyne of West Boylston, Alyssa Kruger of Sterling, Evelyn Laird of Bolton, and Sophia Lucy of West Boylston. From Plymouth, New Hampshire, Meredith Callahan of Lancaster and Wesley Palermo of Bolton were named to the Spring Dean's List at Plymouth State University. 3 local students were named to the Plymouth State University President's List, Craig Martin of Sterling, Braden Christian of Lancaster, and Dylan Rapassi of Berlin. From Haverhill, Judy Kimani of Clinton was named to the Spring Dean's List at Northern Essex Community College. From Atlanta, Georgia, Albert Baburam of West Boylston earned a Master of Science in Mechanical Engineering from the Georgia Institute of Technology. From Easton, as part of a program offered by Stonehill College's Department of Sports Management, Justin Ethier, a member of the class of 2027 from Lancaster, had the opportunity to work at Gillette Stadium, temporarily named Boston Stadium, during the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Alongside a cohort of fellow Stonehill students, Ethier supported premier guest operations and gained first-hand experience in the coordination and execution of services for a large-scale international tournament. Our next article is from Sterling by Danielle Ray. Prolific local artist celebrates centennial. A large group of Charlie Gray's friends and family gathered last month in the First Church Parish Hall to celebrate the talented artist's 100th birthday. Gray's daughter, Patricia Kie, said family members flew in from California, Florida, and even Mexico to take part in celebrating his remarkable life, with live music, socializing, and, of course, cake. We let Dad arrive an hour before everyone else so he could take in all the details of his party that was planned by his group, that we refer to as Charlie's Angels, Patricia said of the group of women behind the special celebration. Live music for the birthday party was provided by Charlie's artist friend and Princeton resident Dennis Coughlin and his band. Representative Meg Kilcoyne brought certificates and honors from Governor Maura Healey, and many pieces of Charlie's art were on display. Charlie was overwhelmed with the outpouring of love and community, Patricia said of her dad, who is the subject of her latest blog post. People can read by visiting bradymom.com. My dad, Charlie Gray, has been an artist his entire life, she writes about her Navy veteran father who served in World War II. His art has taken many forms, from his early days of carving as a young child, growing up in Moncton, Canada, to producing magnificent commission pieces of art for office buildings, to his cartoons being published in several magazines, including the Saturday Evening Post and the Wall Street Journal and the Christian Science Monitor, to galleries in New England, and still at 100 years of age, he produces several watercolor paintings each week. Patricia lives in Sterling and Charlie calls Rutland home. Charlie lost his wife, Grace, in 2015 on their 68th wedding anniversary. She suffered from dementia, and he had put his art on hold for many years so he could dedicate his time to caring for her. After her passing, he returned to his roots and began teaching art classes again. He teaches watercolor classes at First Church in Sterling and the Sterling and Rutland Senior Centers. He previously taught at other senior centers in the area. He's also active with the Princeton Arts Society and participates in art classes himself to perfect his own skills, including at the Worcester Art Museum. When Mom passed, Dad knew he needed to get back to his art, to reconnect with his fellow artists, and to rebuild his life, Patricia wrote in her blog. For some, losing your spouse at 89 would mean just surviving, but for Dad, he saw it as an opportunity to begin a new chapter in his life, and he did. From Berlin, the town is back to searching for a new town administrator. Alex McGee, who the board unanimously chose to fill the Berlin position after an interview June 13th, has taken another job. The Berlin Select Board was scheduled to meet to discuss the next steps on Wednesday, July 8th, but the meeting was not broadcast live. After the July 8th meeting, Select Board member Peg Stone said the board was given two options: ask the search committee to go back through the candidate list and forward no less than two for the board to interview, or go back to Municipal Resources, Inc. for a new search. The board voted to go with the first option, so search committee members will be sent an email to reconvene. The July 13th Select Board agenda has a line item to extend the contract of interim town administrator Jeff Nutting. According to reports, McGee was chosen Monday, July 6th, to take a town manager job in Chelmsford, with McGee apparently telling the board he passed up another offer because Chelmsford was reportedly his dream job. McGee was the Andover deputy town manager, chief administration and finance from September 2025 to February, and he was a finalist for the recent Clinton Town Administrator opening also. He was also offered a position in Hubbardston in May, but withdrew from that process. The other two finalists interviewed in Berlin were Evan Kenny, who has been the Middlefield Town Administrator from March 25 to present, and James Kriedler, who was the Townsend Town Administrator from 2015 to 2023 and is currently working in the private sector. Former Berlin Town Administrator Kristen Rubin left to take a similar job in Upton. Jeff Nutting has been serving as the Berlin Interim Town Administrator since her departure in March. From Lancaster, One Ingredient Treats offers healthy option for dogs. Only three individuals are involved in One Ingredient Treats, but when one of those has four legs, you know the quality control of these pet treats is guaranteed. Ashley Lombard is the main force behind One Ingredient Treats, overseeing every step from production to packaging and sales, with help from her husband and their four-legged friend Baxter, who participates in the sales by bringing people to their booth with his wagging tail and invitation to pet him. And it all started with Baxter. We were struggling to find treats we actually trusted, ones without a long list of things we couldn't pronounce, so we decided to make our own, using just one ingredient at a time, she said. What began as a kitchen experiment turned into something bigger as word spread. One Ingredient Treats was born. Lombard sells at local events and craft markets throughout Massachusetts and the Northeast, including Sterling Street Market. I post upcoming events on Instagram and Facebook at One Ingredient Treats, so people can check there for where I'll be next or message me if they'd like to see me at an event near them, she said. Not local? No problem. I ship anywhere in the U.S. Check out their website, oneingredienttreats.org. I'm looking forward to growing the business and continuing to make dogs happy one ingredient at a time, she added. Our last article today is from Sterling, exploring the art of soap making from the front porch. Neil Trahan says front porch soap is a two-person effort, but do not discount their third important partner, Malty Poo, Cody Ann, their mascot. Neil handles production and packaging, while his partner Don Malio helps handle shipping, running the table at events like Sterling Street Market, and taking care of the financial side of things. The soap is made in their Sterling home in small batches. Once Trahan realized how much he enjoyed making soap, he figured, let's see what happens, and tried selling the product. Doing the markets has been a lot of fun, he says, and it helps support the hobby itself. I'm keeping my day job. I'm a school district administrator. But the markets give me a creative outlet, and the sales help me keep making more. Trahan said that the standouts include our sandalwood and poppy seed buyer for men and our pink peach paradise, which sold out recently at the Sterling Street Market. Their website's still a work in progress, so the best way to see their products is on their Etsy page, which is thefrontporchsoapco.etsy.com. You can also catch them at other events this summer, including more appearances at the Sterling Street Market. I'd also love for people to reach out, he said, at frontporchsoap@gmail.com if they have soap ideas of their own, something specific they'd like to see me make, or if they're looking for party favors for a baby shower, a birthday, or even a wedding. We can design and deliver almost anything, he said. That's it for the July 10th edition of the Clinton Item. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Peter Wilson. Thank you for listening.
Once again, Audio Journal listeners, this is Bill Ruggiero with your latest weather forecast for Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. Here's my latest updated forecast. For today, we'll look at mostly sunny skies, hazy, hot, and humid, highs near 97 degrees, with real field temperatures over 102. For tonight, mostly clear skies. Warm and humid. Lows will be near 72 degrees. For your Wednesday, is called for mostly sunny skies. Wednesday's high will be 96 degrees, with real field temperatures near 106 degrees. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely after 8 p.m. Lows will be in the lower 70s. And the outlook for Thursday is called for early morning thunderstorm, otherwise clearing and turning less humid in the afternoon. Highs on Thursday in the lower 80s. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for today, Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody, and please stay tuned for more programming up next on Audio Journal. Take it easy. Have a good Tuesday, everybody. Bye.
Hello, listeners. Would you like to hear news from Holden, Paxton, Princeton, Rutland, and Sterling that you're not likely to hear on commercial television and radio? Tune in to Audio Journal every Friday at 7 a.m. and again at 9 a.m. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.